The Walking Dead, I'm a big fan. I was late to the party. Bill, you had started watching it, and you said, you got to see it. My son Dylan, 12 years old, says, Mom, this is great. I said, I don't really like zombies. Start watching it. You loved it.
Oh, yeah, from day one.
So
yeah.
I binge-watched, and yes, there are walkers or roamers or biters.
Oh, my. That was pretty good.
That's what they sound
like. That was pretty good.
And yes, there are those types of zombie-like creatures in this, but it's about relationships and, you know, trying to survive the zombie apocalypse, where Rick at one time said, we are the Walking Dead, which is kind of true.
Yep.
But with all the fascination of the zombies and everything, we wanted to learn about a condition where it's actually called the zombie disease. And Dr. Michael Birnbaum is on the line with us, assistant investigator, Center for Psychiatric Neuroscience, the Feinstein Institute for Medical Research. You're a professor. What aren't you, Dr. Birnbaum?
Hi, folks. I'm not a zombie.
Oh, that's good to know.
Very good news for all parties involved. But how could something like this exist? We're trying to figure out what exactly must be going on in somebody's head, doctor, for that to happen, for them to be alive but have the feeling that they are not alive.
So essentially, it is a psychotic symptom, which ultimately means that somebody is somewhat detached from reality, having thoughts that don't necessarily make sense or aren't based in what's actually happening out there. So this is one example of many, many psychotic symptoms that exist in the world. And some of them are particularly unusual, and this is an example of one of the unusual and relatively rare ones, where someone, although they're alive, they believe that they are already in fact dead, or that their organs, for example, are rotting from the inside.
Good God.
It's terrible.
Yeah, very,
it's
very
awful.
Scary stuff.
It's awful.
Do they view themselves, you know, how someone who has a weight issue, either anorexia or bulimia, will look in the mirror, and even though they're skinny as they can be, they still see themselves as fat? Is this person looking at their image and thinking, you know, oh, look, my spleen is hanging out and I'm decomposing as we speak?
So anorexia is not a psychotic disorder, but it's you're bringing up a very good point. It's similar in the sense that no matter what, when you tell somebody who's anorexic that they are that they are underweight, they don't see it that way.
Yeah.
And so similarly, people who have psychotic disorders, they have fixed and false beliefs. So no matter what evidence is suggesting the contrary, they will still hold on to a specific idea. And in this case, the idea would be that they're dead.
Do they even make an attempt to communicate, or do they just say, it's pointless, I'm dead, I don't even need to try to communicate with anybody?
So everybody's different, of course, and these experiences are experienced different by every individual who's struggling with them. So it's hard to sort of make a blanket statement like that. And it depends on the illness that it's associated with. It usually doesn't happen on its own, but it's part of a larger disorder. So, for example, people with schizophrenia, they have a number of psychotic symptoms. One of them could be this Cotard delusion. And also people who have very severe forms of major depressive disorder can also believe that they are already dead. So there's no one way that somebody will present, and usually it's in within a constellation of other symptoms.
How many cases have you known about?
Very few. It's very rare. I run a program specifically designed for young people who are in the very beginning stages of psychotic disorders. It's called the Early Treatment Program. And we work with young people between the ages of 15 and 35 who are just sort of starting to develop schizophrenia or other psychotic disorders. So we see all sorts of unusual and scary experiences that people present with. This is something that is incredibly rare. I haven't seen it very much, but I have seen it.
All right. There was an author who was talked about in this story, Esme Wang. She was among the people who experienced this Cotard syndrome firsthand in November of 2013. Wang came to the conclusion that she had been dead for a month. Her belief was bolstered by a fainting incident on a flight home from London to San Francisco. According to Esme Wang, she believed that she actually died during that flight. And this according to The Washington Post. She was completely convinced that she died on the flight. She said she was in the afterlife and hadn't realized it until that moment. That was the beginning of when I was conceived that I was dead. But I wasn't upset about it because I thought that I could go about my business and do things in my life and do my life over and maybe do them better. Mm. So she thought she was going to come back to life. That right. really is delusional.
Yeah, it's incredibly scary, and you could imagine that everybody would sort of respond individually to that particular experience. And some people may say that I'm going to keep doing what I need to do despite having this idea, and other people may respond to it and say, "Yeah, I'm already dead. There's no point in living and doing what I need to do."
If somebody has this, Dr. Birnbaum, is the best treatment some sort of therapy, or is there a drug that would help the brain to not have the delusions that it's having, or is it a mixture of those things? What's the treatment like?
So generally, the treatment for anybody who's struggling with a psychotic disorder or a psychotic symptom is two things. One is an antipsychotic medication, and there are a number of those. And then in addition to that, there is very focused cognitive behavioral therapy for psychotic symptoms to help individuals understand what's going on and overcome these ideas and be able to function despite having this incredible obstacle of believing that they're dead, for example.
All right, and I have to share with you this last thing here. This Esme Wang, again, this was November 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Though she was interacting with her husband and their dog, Daphne, Wang believed that they were dead, too, and that they were sharing an afterlife together.
Wow.
That's sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's incredibly sad and scary. And it's not, again, this is relatively rare, but sometimes what you'll see is an individual believing that not only are they dead, but they're already in an afterlife. They're already in heaven, already in hell, and all the players around them are also already dead.
What sort of a success rate are we looking at, Dr. Birnbaum, from people not just who have Cotard syndrome, but similar delusional problems? Is there a fairly decent ratio of getting people back to normal?
Yeah, well, now we know more than ever that the key here is early intervention, right? So the earlier you can capture this illness, the better people do. And now early intervention programs are really popping up all over the states. To catch psychotic disorders when they're at just the very beginning stages, as opposed to waiting till they metastasize and take over. And unfortunately, in the United States, people could be ill with psychotic disorders for many, many years before they finally get the help that they need. And it's a real tragedy and something that we have to work very hard to change.
All right. You mentioned schizophrenia falling under these psychotic disorders. What else is bipolar under that umbrella as well?
So you can have a bipolar disorder with psychotic features. Similarly, you can have a depressive disorder with psychotic features. You can have schizoaffective disorder, which is essentially both a mood disorder and a psychotic disorder, or schizophreniform. Essentially, these are somewhat semantic differences, but there's a cluster of psychotic disorders where someone would present with psychotic symptoms, one of them being... So, for example, psychotic symptoms are delusions, the ones that we've been talking about, and they come in a whole host of different shapes and sizes. Paranoid delusions. Sometimes people feel like they're being followed or monitored by the FBI, that their parents, for example, are not their parents and have been replaced by imposters. So you can imagine all these thoughts are very scary. And also another example of a psychotic symptom could be perceptual abnormalities. So as though your brain is playing tricks on you. The things that you use to understand the world, your eyes, your ears, your senses are playing tricks. So you're hearing a voice, for example, when actually nothing is there, or you're seeing something when nothing is there. And when these things come together as a constellation, we sometimes call it schizophrenia or schizoaffective disorder, depending on what is happening and how long it's been going on for.
Are these problems usually inborn, or are they usually brought upon by like prolonged drug use, or is it a combination of those?
It's a combination. What we know now is that people are born with a genetic vulnerability, meaning that there's something inherent with their biology that makes them at risk of developing a disorder like this. And then a culmination of life events. Sometimes it happens when someone moves away for college. There are certain environmental factors that come into play, too. And the exact algorithm, we don't know. But it's sort of when the perfect storm hits, that's when the disorder unfortunately breaks.
Both my kids have ADHD, and of course it's very common that a parent gets diagnosed after their kids were diagnosed.
Right.
Makes a lot of sense of, you know, why I had to sit in the quiet chair all the time in kindergarten. But we have a psychiatric appointment tomorrow, and the psychiatrist always goes through this list. Do you hear voices? Do you see things that you're not sure if they're there? And that's all to make sure that this psychotic disorder is not present in them, correct?
Correct. That's sort of our standard list of questions when we're going through to assess for depression, for psychotic disorders, and those would be good questions to explore whether or not.
Except my 16-year-old always goofs around and said, "Yeah, I saw this big woolly mammoth in my room other night," and that's just kidding.
That's great, Dr. Birnbaum. We started out by talking about The Walking Dead. Do you see a spike in something like Cotard syndrome? Whenever there's a pop phenomena like Walking Dead, are more people prone to think they might be dead because the show is so popular, or does that not play into it at all?
I don't think so. I don't think it's that folks are that influenced by what's happening in the moment. I mean, I have to say, as the world has changed, psychotic symptoms have changed too. So, you know, now more than ever, people are feeling as though they're being spied on by their iPhone or that there's a chip in their brain. Of course, none of these thoughts would have existed before iPhones or this type of technology existed. So it has something to do with the environment, but I wouldn't say that it's that susceptible to pop culture like watching zombies on the television.
Okay, good.
Well, I do want to tell you that the Apple TV, you can actually say to your TV, you can talk to Siri and say, you know, find me the Blackhawks game that's on tonight. So if Siri can hear you when you want something, Siri can hear you. She is spying
Absolutely.
On you. So,
sure, and there's some truth to there's potentially some truth to some of these ideas. And as a psychiatrist, I think that it's challenging sometimes to differentiate what is right, what is wrong, what is real, and what isn't. And so I don't necessarily have to make that distinction. I think ultimately it boils down to whether or not this is something that is significantly interfering with somebody's life and somebody's happiness and somebody's ability to work and go to school and have friendships. You know, people can believe anything that they want to believe as long as it's not really getting in the way. And even somebody may have an idea that they're already dead, but if they're still able to go to school, go to work, have friends, family, do what they need to do, then it's not for me to say that that's a wrong idea.
Right. And we just have to talk about mental issues and stop, you know, brushing them under the rug, because then people
Absolutely.
Will get help. Is there a website where people can find out more information about your programs?
So if you Google the early treatment program, it should be the first one that comes up. It's part of the North Shore LIJ health system, and you'll be able to get more info about what we do with the early treatment program and some of the staff here and some of the research opportunities that are also going on over here.
That's Dr. Michael Birnbaum explaining
exactly
what Cotard syndrome is. We appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
Anytime.
Okay. How about that?
That is freaky. This woman really, it happened on a flight. She fainted and came to and thought the plane crashed.
Yeah.
And she was walking dead.
Yeah.
She really thought that and then went home, communicated with her husband and her dog and thought they had died too. And she was just living in the afterlife.
Isn't that something?
That's scary, man.
It's so scary. And actually, well, let's take a break. I will tell you about an actor whose work you may be familiar with who has a version of this. So we'll talk about that in just a little bit. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN.